What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode. And before we start this episode, I want to encourage all our listeners to please subscribe and rate our channel. We definitely appreciate that. Also, feel free to give us feedback. Like I said, all three of those things, we definitely appreciate it. I just want to start the show off and letting you guys know. And here's another episode. I hope you all enjoy it.
On the way to the top floor. I ain't selling out though, but I'm on the way. Got a lot of real, must motivate. Hold all the moves, I'ma put in play. On the way.
Motivation for all the real ones, nigga.
On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take risks cause you too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way. On the way.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I'm your host, Xavier Miller, here with my co-host, D.
Hey, everybody.
And today, this is going to be another super dope episode. I've been waiting to have this episode for a minute. It's always been like scheduled things going on. So now that we got him here locked in, we about to definitely put some valuable gems out there. And his name, Steph, is he's also known as Steph is Dope. And he's a... I'm choking and shit. Like he's a realtor, tech founder, designer, marketer, entrepreneur. He's the co-founder of Noir Airbnb. I'm saying that right, correct?
Noir Airbnb.
And the founder of Polymath Designs. So with all that being said, welcome to the show, bro. We super, super excited to have you.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate y'all and kind of getting to know more about y'all before the call a little bit.
Yeah. That was cool. Yeah, definitely, man. And we was just chopping it up a little bit, but so the first question we usually ask our guests is, so what was the start to all the things you're doing now? What was the start of that?
Oh man, I'm gonna take it way back, bro. The start of all this, the thing about it is, bro, it's all so random and all the things kind of tie together. But the reason why I'm gonna take it way back is because that'd be confusing. So first thing is my parents, they've both always been super hard workers, and they actually met each other working in the tourism industry in Jamaica. So and one of the stereotypes that Jamaicans have is like we always have like a bunch of jobs and always doing bad things. And like I'm fully living that stereotype for real. But I remember the first quote unquote job that I ever even before that, I remember being in fourth grade and hearing a quote that somebody was like, "You're officially an artist when somebody pays for your art." So I was like, "Oh yeah, all right, bet. So I'm gonna just draw something and then go sell it for $1, and then I'm officially an artist now." So I took it even further. I was like, "Yo, I ended up drawing a bunch of Dragon Ball Z characters. I went to the management office, the leasing office in my neighborhood at the time, and printed up like 100 copies." And I hit the block, like, yo, I drew these Dragon Ball Z characters, like, yo, $1 a drawing. And, like, nobody bought anything except for one of my friends. They bought one that day. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm an artist now. And I think my next fake job, I was, like, 9 or something, delivering newspapers for the neighborhood. And I'm saying, like, I think I made $40. And making $40 in my 4th or 5th grade, like, yo, stuck mode.
That's bread. That's bread.
Yeah, man. So I'd say my entrepreneurial spirit kind of started from then, man. Like, I enjoy doing things and being compensated for it. Maybe if I got the skills for it and ideas for it or whatever, like, I enjoy the process of putting something out there or doing some work and just receiving compensation for it, man. So, yeah.
Okay. And you spoke on your parents quickly, and that was another question I wanted to ask, because I always try to understand people background to understand, okay, like, why do they think the way they think? So how important was that role that your parents played? And were they, you said they were like pretty much like doing different things and stuff, so they were like super entrepreneurial, like financially literate folks?
Well, I mean, to be honest, not really. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know my dad, I guess you could say he was financially literate because he had paper, like he was never broke. And we always grew up knowing like my dad had bread. So I don't know if he necessarily knew about P&Ls and different like saving mechanisms and whatever. Like he just knew, all right, I'm going to make some money, I'm going to put it here, put it there. I mean, the funny part about it is like my dad didn't even have a high school education for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, he dropped out of school I don't even think he dropped out. One of the rumors or one of the legends of my dad, he passed away when I was 12, but, like, one of the legends of my dad was that, like, he tried to kill one of his teachers.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Yeah, just, like, dropped out, like even being a dropout, he's always like new ways to get money. And being a Jamaican, our number one, I guess, resource or revenue generator is tourism. He was like, all right, well, this is what makes money in the country. Then I'm just going to go do what makes money. And he made the right decision and made a bunch of money. Met my mom, and next, you know, here's me. And my mom, she's always a hustler from the tourism stuff. She's also into like education and nursing and mad stuff like that. Like, she actually owns a school in Jamaica right now. I was actually in Jamaica last week to actually help her kind of optimize some of her stuff for her school and her benefits and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, honestly, that's like, so yeah, I wouldn't say she's the most financially literate, but she's always been a hustler.
So she owns her own school in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. Really dope. That's crazy. You said it real quick, like it was nothing. I'm like, yo, Brazil, no, go back for a second. She owned her own school. I'm like, yo, that's crazy.
What age range is it, or just all ages?
Well, so here's the funny part about it. It's technically like an adult school. Like, it's a vocational school, primarily focused on like nursing and hospitality, because like we know tourism is very big. So she wanted to make sure that she kind of taught or created a school people could learn about hospitality and tourism and stuff like that. So, like, they can get jobs in the hotels and resorts and different stuff like that. So, that's the primary focus. But the thing about it is, in the area where she's at, and the kind of person that she is, like, people kind of naturally gravitate towards her. And, like, kids would always be at building and be in a space anyway. So, she ended up kind of building a space for the little kids to hang out and, like, use the computer and stuff like that too. So, I guess it is kind of all ages now, yeah.
That's dope.
Oh, that's super dope. So, what got you into tech? How did that start?
Here's the thing about it, man. The misunderstanding a lot of people have is that they're not into tech. Like, right now, the three of us are speaking on Zoom, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we connected on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of this is technology, whether we think about it or not. But we're using technology from the front end user perspective. We're not necessarily using it from the back end facilitation or engineering perspective, right? But I remember I was heavily into my music career, and one day somehow I think I was actually in Walmart and decided to buy the DVD for this movie called The Social Network. And essentially, The Social Network was a movie about the story of Facebook and how it got started. Now, the way it got started, I mean, like, a lot of people know, but the whole Facebook story is ridiculously tumultuous and crazy, and it's so wild, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's legendary because, like, this guy who was really a nobody was able to create something that changed the world for him and will change his life and change the world for people all across the planet, right? Which I thought was always amazing, but it came from such a simple idea. And the thing is, I mean, I've never been a nobody. I mean, I've always been kind of cool and popular and whatever, but at the same time, I'm always humble and I don't mind being a nobody. I'd probably rather be a nobody, but I'd say the thing that was so powerful to me was like, yo, like, this guy had an idea, knew that people would actually want to use it. He was able to see that people wanted to use it and people needed it, and he just built it and changed the world. And this had to be maybe in like 2011, something like that. And I knew, I was like, all right, I've always been into figuring how things work and remote control cars and electronics or whatever, but never necessarily like software or development. But when I saw that movie, I was like, yo, like, okay, like, I like that. So I remember writing down a bunch of different app ideas, stuff that I wanted to do in my notebook. But like, at that time, I was like doing events. I had my own music career, running a record label. So I kind of just put all that on the back burner. But I kept it in the back of my mind still. And what ended up happening was that I was hosting a music festival in Atlanta. And while I was hosting the festival, we were renting an Airbnb, and the neighbors saw a bunch of black people in the house. They thought we were robbing the place, called the cops on us, and they kind of just blew up. And what ended up happening was, because, I mean, you guys see me on Twitter and all that, I've been making viral tweets and whatever since I pretty much got on Twitter, right? But when the situation happened, the cops pulled up, and they had their guns on me, and something was going on. But after we kind of cleared everything up, I asked the cops, I was like, hey, is it cool if we get a selfie together? Because my marketing brain turned on instantly. And the cops were like, yeah, sure, as long as you get my good side. So I took this photo with these cops, and I made the tweet. I was like, yo, the Airbnb we're at is staying, the Airbnb we're at is so dope. The neighbors thought we were robbing the place, called the cops. And I tweeted it, put my phone down. 5 minutes later, I get a call from one of my friends, and I'm like, yo, like, you know you're about to go viral, right? And I was like, all right, bet. I do it all at once. Whatever. Don't worry. when the roll up, eat some food, I was chilling. And then my phone starts blowing up, and I'm like, yo, like, what's going on? Next thing you know, I get a call from BuzzFeed and here and there, and like, it just blew up crazy. So I was like, all right, like, this is something bigger than I had even really anticipated. And then I started realizing just how our situation was actually not unique, and a lot of Black people had been facing this very same circumstance. So I was like, all right, this is a big problem.
Big.
I'm not a person who likes to complain and just, I mean, granted, I've done my activism. I've been in the streets protesting with the horn and the whole nine. I've done all that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I'm like, all right, we got these problems. How can I take a bigger approach or take a realer way to solve this problem? And I was like, all right, the whole world is staring at me right now. They're all looking at me in my story. What is the best way that I can push this in a positive and a beneficial direction, not just only for me, but for my people and for my culture overall? And then my older brother at the time, well, at the time he was my older brother all the time, but at the time he told me, he was like, yo, you need to drop a mixtape, bro, because he was my manager. And I was like, I don't know about that, bro. I think we got a bigger opportunity here. And I sat down, full transparency, I rolled some weed, and I sat down, and I was like, yo, what do I do? And the idea for Noir B&B came like a ton of bricks. Like, the name, the idea, everything came in all at once. And I was like, okay, yo, this is that tech idea. This was it. Like I told you, I had ideas in the chamber that I still do, actually, that would totally take off. But this one hit me so perfect because it was firing on all cylinders. Right? It was like, yo, one, you're solving a problem. Two, you've got your niche market, the Black community who needs this service. Mm-hmm. Three, it's all tech. And the name and everything, it just all made sense all at once. So I was like, man, look, let's come up with an idea and make it happen. And I remember I came up with an idea, had made a little deck and all that. I had a contact in Airbnb after everything that happened, and I reached out to them, and I was like, yo, I got an idea that could not only solve your problem, but also help my community and just be a win-win for all parties involved. They liked the idea, they flew us, but they liked the fish, the little brief fish, and they flew us out to their headquarters in San Fran, put us up in an Airbnb for like 2 days and the whole nine. We met some of their higher ups, like literally their entire Black staff in the whole nine. And I pitched it to them. I was like, yo, the Black travel market in America alone is a $50 billion industry. The African American spending power is about $1.3 trillion. You're leaving a lot of money on the table, and you're leaving an unserved, underserved market. And like, they loved it, heard all that, but they didn't end up acting on it. But we were in negotiations for about 3 to 6 months. I bought the domain and everything. I had it on deck, and we did nothing with it. And said, you know what? Nah, like we need to just jump out there on our own and make it happen. And we had been in a conversation for a while, told them about this instance and this experience and this data and this whatever, and they just weren't really receptive. You know what? Forget it. They're not going to do it. We need to do it. And at that time, I didn't know anything about building a tech website. I mean, I had done like minimal stuff, but nothing of this level. But I said, you know what, bro? I'm not scared of nothing. When whatever happens, happens, let's just jump out there and do it. And we made a landing page just to collect emails. And I said, look, it's Friday. If by Monday comes around and we have 100 emails, then we got something to work with, and we'll take it from there. And by the time Monday came around, we had about 14,000 emails. So we're like, all right, like, we got a business model. We got a customer base.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Like I have no time to back up and be scared.
Right.
Like, no, like, we're out here, and let's go full steam ahead. And that's what we did. So I literally ended up being racism
in
the tech.
Racism in the tech. Nah, that's like no bullshit. Like, what you doing with that is one of the dopest like business things I've seen like in my life, for real. Like that's cold. And I'm glad you dived into it, because I definitely want to talk about that. And like, what's behind the name though? What made you come up with that name?
Noir means
Black. So here's the thing. So noir means Black in French, right? Now, so there's that, but then also, are you guys familiar with travel noir?
Travel noir?
Mm-mm.
I think I heard of it before.
So travel noir is, I mean, they're almost hard to describe, because they do so many dope, incredible things, and they were actually acquired by Blavity recently. But essentially, travel noir is a platform that really highlights and showcases Black travel and black travelers around the world, and just kind of helps you figure out ways to work around the planet and connect with other black folks and go to dope places, and really just kind of helps set the stage for the whole black travel movement. And I'd always been a fan of travel noir. Like, the Instagram is incredible. There's beautiful black melanated folks all around the planet enjoying themselves. I was like, y'all, I love that. And when the idea hit me, I was like, all right, this is black travel. This is home sharing. This is B&B. I was like, all right, well, look. It just makes, and I knew when noir meant black. I was like, yo, noir, air, they sound very kind of alike. Mm-hmm. And if, like, people already knew Airbnb, people in our community pretty much damn near knew about, a lot of us knew about travel noir and the word noir. So I was like, all right, well, if I smash them both together, like, you could hear the name of my business and kind of already get the business model or the basic business model. So, yep. Like, it just made sense. So that's what it was. And the name was so good, we actually had a company try to copycat the name.
I bet.
Like we had to trademark our name and their name just to stop them from trying to, ride our whole way. But that's an entire other conversation. I'll just leave it at that.
Wow. That's brilliant, man. Like, seriously. So, so is it set up where, like, pretty much like how Airbnb is, where you could just go on there and you could just book somewhere you want to stay?
Yeah, so very similar to that in the sense of, like, we do have just hosts and properties on there, and we're actually acquiring and adding more every day. But what we realized is that it was more than just accommodation, but even beyond all that, what we also know is that a lot of people just hate the process of having to find a place to stay and then book it and then book your flight and then figure out what to do. And like, they hate the whole, it's just too complicated and people got stuff to do. I said, you know what? Well, not only can we provide accommodations, like, look, our concierge team will find a place to stay for you, find some things to do down there, and kind of orchestrate and just map out the whole thing for you, right? So we have accommodation, we have our concierge team. So Airbnb has an experience program. Mm. I actually gave them that idea.
Really?
Ran with it in our pitch meeting. No worries. So literally, when I say I got $1 billion, we got the whole Priceless One Up movement and hats and all that, but that thread started because I was giving a bunch of business advice and gain to my friends and my family, and like, it would go in one ear, out the other, no one listening. I'm like, wait a minute, bro. I've got $1 billion corporation using my ideas to make more billions. I'm trying to help you make a couple of racks, and you're not listening. All right, bet, bro. I'm not giving you no more free game. The price just went up, bro.
Hey, I love that.
So that's kind of where that came from. So we do. We got accommodation, experiences, the concierge team. And we also do events too, because in Miami every year there's an event called Art Basel, right?
Art Basel.
People come down from around the world. Yeah, check out the art, celebrities, and the whole nine. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, like, me and my homies would always talk about is, like, it's like, yo, there's never really a platform or a place for us to kind of showcase our work and our scene and our community and what we do. And me being Jamaican, in Jamaica, you call your house your yard. So if you're about to go back to the crib, you're like, yo, I'm going back to my yard, basically, right? But for Jamaicans who live around the world, we all kind of call Jamaica yard because Jamaica's our collective home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what, well, as you'll learn, I can come up with names out the ass all day. I said, you know what, I was like, well, shit, if they don't want to let us in Art Basel, then we're going to create Yard Basel and do our own thing.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So we ended up doing that in 2017, like, for the first year, and it was, so we had a bunch of Jamaican artists, Caribbean artists, like, we had, like, Caribbean cuisine, food, like, performance and the whole nine, and, like, it ended up really dope. And we ended up doing it 2 years in a row, and the second one was, like, 1,000 times bigger than the first one, so basically it's working. But, so, like, we do events, experiences, concierge, accommodation, the whole nine, and we're actually getting into some more real estate stuff, too. I don't even want to give away too much sauce, but One of our main objections or questions in the beginning was like, hey, all right, this concept is awesome, it's great, but with redlining and other issues that black people have faced when focusing on real estate, how are you guys sourcing these black hosts? And there was, like, that was a major point of contention, but it was like, in my mind, I was always like, man, look, even before this idea, I've been in the real estate office. And my whole mission was, how do we get more black folks in the real estate, into owning real estate, being able to kind of slow gentrification as we know it? But even forget the typical term of gentrification. How do we gentrify our own hood, where it's like, we're not bringing in people who are outside. It's like, yo, we're bringing money in to fix up our hood and make it nicer for ourselves, and also being able to turn them into revenue generators, right? So it's like, how do we do that? So we've actually been working on that a bit. So, yeah, we got a lot of things in the chamber right now, a lot of things.
Man. You cooking, man. And I want to say, yes, I love... Man, this is so deep. But I love, like, your mindset, just from, you don't have a victim mentality. And when I say that, I mean, mm-hmm. because, like, the experience you had with Airbnb, it's so many people. If they would have had that experience, they would have been, like, online going crazy. Oh, we protesting. We walking outside protesting Airbnb so they treat us fair, which is like, okay, that's cool. But me, necessarily, personally, I'm not with that. I'm with, if you got a problem with something, you don't like how they doing it, create your own. And that's, you just personally, that's exactly what you did. So that's so dope. And that tells me your mindset is not no victim mindset at all. It's like, you in control, this is what we going to do. So that's super cold to me, man. And I salute you for that, for real.
Man, I appreciate that. And honestly, bro, like, that's always been my approach. And that's almost also why I kind of backed out of activism in this traditional sense, because I know a bunch of activists and I love them. I think a lot of their hearts are in the right place. But like, when I actually provided the ideas on how we can get a real ownership and make a real change and shit, make some real money too, they were like, nah.
Nah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, hey, bro, like, you're not trying to solve no problems for real. Like, mm-hmm. like this is really your way. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And what you realize is that when a lot of these people, if there's nothing to fight, if there's no problem, then they're absolutely useless.
Useless.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nah, bro, like, that's not my energy at all, man. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
And like, I wanted to tell you, like, you have a real gift for problem solving. Like, just hearing each story, you take a problem and you solve it, like, automatically. And like, being an entrepreneur, that's a real key to have to being successful, like, taking problems and solving them. So for that, I think that's the dopest part of it all. Like, you got a real gift for it.
That's crazy, man. Like you said, with the protesting thing. And, like, it's funny, man, because, like, every time we bring somebody on the show and we, like, talk to them about business, it always gets to, like, this kind of talk. And I feel like... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we got to talk about it. And I feel like that is the real activism. Like, the entrepreneurship part, creating your own things and providing for your own people, that's true activism to me, because that's acting on something. Like, just walking and protesting. Just walking and protesting on something, that's, to me personally, I mean, some people might take this wrong, that's begging-ism. That's not even a word, but that's begging. That's not too much. You're not taking no real action on nothing, because there's no problem solving with that. Because if it is...
Bro, it's like, bro, it's what you said. It's like, bro, here's the thing. They're begging other people to make their life better. Like, what you... Like, bro, come on, man. Like, bro, like, that, it has never happened like that.
Never.
Like, you can't beg for your freedom.
Never.
You can't beg for your equality. You can't even appeal to people's morality.
Exactly.
For that. Like, yo, either you're going to make it or you're going to take it.
Or you're going to take it.
What you going to mm-hmm. do?
That's so real, and I love talking about that, just because I know some people, when I talk about how I'm not really with the protesting thing, they look at me like, what? And I'm like, and I break it down to them, I'm like, yo, if somebody, like, prime example, what happened with the Meek Mill situation with the hotel and with the Cosmopolitan or whatever, like, opposed to, I mean, I don't mind doing what he did, but I feel like it's enough wealthy black people, enough black geniuses, where we could do our own thing. We ain't got to be worrying about, hey, let us in your hotel. It's they shit. They don't have to let us in their shit if they don't want to. I'm not begging nobody to, why you kicking me out? Why you kicking me out? I'm not going to be doing that. All right, you kick me out. All right, cool. I'm about to go do my own shit.
Yep.
Yeah, say no more. You know what I'm saying? So that mentality has always been kind of strange to me. It's like, well, I don't understand why people think like that.
Just our history, everything we done been through, just everything coming up to this point, it's just in us to be that way. But it's time for a change, and we need to just, you know, realize, like, you know, we gotta do things differently. What worked in the past isn't gonna work for us today.
But it didn't even work in the past.
Exactly, and people don't realize that.
here's the sickest thing, bro. Like, sickest part, bro. This is the sickest part to me, bro. And like one of my homies on Twitter, Doe Dudes, he's like, he's actually an author and all that too, but he always talks to me, he's like, yo, after slavery ended, it was like, yo, Black Wall Street across the country got popping. Like, yo, we free now? Oh, like, turn up, I'm gonna get this bag, you know what I'm saying? And meanwhile, you got us living in 2019 with more guns, more phones, more tech, more money, more whatever than ever.
Opportunity.
More opportunities than ever.
Ever.
We complain, and I'm like, bro, here's the thing. I'm like, man, look, I'm not a racism denier. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, racism is real. Like, oppression and subjugation and all that is very real. But you know what? We got guns, too. You know what I'm saying? We got money, too. Mm-hmm. What you mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, we can go to war on a monetary level, physical level, spiritual, emotional. Like, bro, like, what do you want to do? But a lot of these cats, like, yo, they don't want smoke, but they want to act like they want
to act like they want smoke.
Bro, if you want smoke, get your ass to work, bro. Get some money, bro. Because, like, yo, help feed your community, bro. Because, like, saying you got smoke and making some angry tweets and yelling for a little bit, that's not going to do nothing for nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And this is something random I just thought of. What do you think? Do you think? It is possible. I was gonna say, but what do you? How can I word this?
Hey man, you ain't got sugarcoated.
All right, I definitely ain't gonna sugarcoat it. I'm just trying to figure out, like, make sure I'm saying, make sure I'm saying it the right way. But do you, like? Cause I know, like, we in the community, we make activism synonymous with broke. Like, you can't be right. You can't have a mansion and be an act. Like, that's how we look at, like, what you, like, how you fighting for the people when you in a mansion? How you fighting for the people when you got a Bentley? So I'm like, but what do you think about that?
Well, here's the thing about it, right? And this is deep, and this is nuanced, and it's kind of scary too, right? Because here's the thing. I'm about to get real philosophical.
Go ahead. Do your thing, bro.
Here's my thing, man. Me personally, I don't believe that we were born to exist in life and suffer. You know what I'm saying? Like we weren't put here to not know where our next meal is going to come from. We weren't put here to not know how to take care of our family. Now, life isn't supposed to be easy.
Right.
Life should come with some things that you need to overcome, because when you overcome, then that makes you stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you realer. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like I said, like we deserve to live life and enjoy it and experience the way that we should want to. Now, you got a lot of people, what they do is, they'll say, oh, you shouldn't have this money and you shouldn't have that. You shouldn't live like that, blah, 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 blah. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to make themselves morally superior to the wealthy, right? It's like, oh, like you got a Bentley and you got money and that means you're a bad person, because if you really cared, then you wouldn't even have that. So really, like, nah, fam, like, here's the fact of the matter. If somebody has a Bentley and a big-ass house and a bunch of money and whatever else, 9 times out of 10, if they're not a scammer, you know what I'm saying, or a fraud or a thief or whatever, they had to build a business and build something that not only is able to help them afford that, but they probably get paid last. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All their employees and whatever got to get paid first and foremost. So mind you, if I done went through all that time educating myself to build this business, and I had to go through training and hiring and setting up systems and processes, you damn right, if I want to buy a Bentley, I'm going to go buy that, because you know what? My whole staff is paid. I was broke for 10 years. Shit, I'm going to enjoy this. You know what I'm saying? And the problem is that people that are in broke positions, a lot of the time, they don't see a way out for themselves. Like, they don't see their own path to success. And the fact that you were able to navigate that causes some resentment in them. And because they're not fully sure how to even reflect that or get that out in a positive way, they're going to call you evil, and they're going to make you a villain, they're going to make you the bad guy, when really it's like, man, all the wealthiest people that I know are some of the most righteous, giving. Like, man, my stepmother, yo, church woman, all day, every day, getting the bag. She told my older brothers 10 years ago, 12 years ago probably now, that's like, she told them to buy real estate in D.C. They didn't. They BS. You know what I'm saying? She got mad real estate in D.C., owned super properties in Jamaica, in the States, all over the place, businesses making dumb money, and she goes to Jamaica to give free health care to people.
Wow.
She donates to mad causes. Damn near the entire family works for her businesses, and they're able to live, and not only live, bruh, they got nice houses. The kids are straight. Everybody's good. And she's still able to give back to strangers. It's like, bro, like, our whole family damn near is able to live a positive life. My nieces and nephews and all that, my grandma, yo, they're all good, happy, beautiful black children. Mm. Not worried about nothing because of what she was able to do.
Right.
And my father was able to do. And the other uncles and aunts, like, they were able to build that and not worry about nothing. It's like, you know what? That's activism, bro.
Mm.
How could you? And my stepmother drives a beautiful Jag, brand new Jag, lives in a beautiful ass house, got jewelry, flexed up, flossed up, and she deserves to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She deserves it.
Man, look. Yeah, I'm not mad at nobody because and the problem is that a lot of folks they're intellectual fools. They know a bunch of shit, but can't none of that shit that they know help them make no money.
Right. Right. That's real.
So the problem is that they could tell you the capital of Bangladesh. And niggas can't tell you how to make a dollar. But how smart are you?
Exactly.
Like, you're smart with dumb shit. You're smart with Jeopardy info. And you might make some bread on Jeopardy, but you're not gonna make bread in regular life with that bullshit that you know. But because that kills them so much, they use that to hate on wealthy people. And mind you, I'm not nowhere near where I want to be yet. In my mind, I'm broke, I'm poor.
Same here.
I'm trying to turn up and get it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, bro, like, what I know is possible, I know I ain't even there yet. I'm working and busting my ass because I see what's possible. And also, I know the struggle it takes. Most folks, they hear about John D. Rockefeller or they hear about Jay-Z or whatever, and a lot of them, I shouldn't say Jay-Z, because a lot of us know his story, but a lot of folks think that Jay-Z got rich because he then signed up for the Illuminati, not
right.
Doing that rough. He was trapping and had to save his own money to take a risk on Rockefeller. And do this and do that and do that to even get where they at now. But people don't see the journey. All they see is the highlight reel. Not mm-hmm. knowing that, bro, we were shooting in the gym. For real.
For hours.
For hours. You know what I mean? So I don't even mean to be long-winded, but...
No, you good.
I think that's a big part of what it is, man.
Yeah, you good, man, and that's so real, man. Because even like that, I'm glad you said that. Because even sometimes, with me personally, well, it hasn't been recently, but I used to sometimes like I'd be like, man, I'm living good, I'm making good money, you know, I got good money, and I'd be thinking like, man, why I feel like I should feel bad about this, like, because I'd be like, man, I feel like I'm finessing life or something. And I feel like that's the thing where, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? I feel like that's the thing where probably a lot of us go through, especially a lot of us when we're young and we first start coming into money, because we come from areas where, like, most people really not doing good. And it's like, you look at the people that's doing good as, like, you know, they morally corrupt. So I started feeling that about myself, like, damn. Why I don't feel that? I'm like, yo, what's wrong with me? I deserve this. Like, man, I worked my ass off. I didn't stay, you know, grinding. I deserve this, man. You can't tell, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's crazy. I'm glad you brought that up, for real.
Now, I'm gonna say what it is, and I go through the same thing sometimes. But what that is that it's imposter syndrome that we go through, because, like, we sitting there thinking, like, after all that we've done, Getting money and making money sometimes can seem so easy. It's like, bro,
nah, bro,
this ain't right. But not knowing that, fam, like, no, bro, all the years of ramen noodles and,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, $3 on pump two.
You're right. Nah, for real.
Like, really, all that, all those moments were preparing you to get this bag. So, you know what I'm saying? So don't feel bad about it, because you've been adding up your skills, adding up your resilience and making your skin tougher to be in a position, one. And then two, it's like, man, it's like, bro, like, I told my friends last month, right, because, like, my boy Carmel, my best friend from high school, one of the smartest cats I know, I was telling him and his fiance, I was like, man, look, we are superheroes, right? because of what we know in our heads and who we are, we're superheroes. And the thing about it is because we are good people, genuinely inside, it does feel wrong. It feels unfair. It feels like a finesse because it's like, damn, bro, like, I'm so ahead mentally and even in life.
Yeah.
Our people, it's like, yo, I shouldn't be here right now. But really, it's like, yo, you're actually, I'm not sure if you're religious. I'm not really religious.
No, I'm not.
I'm spiritual, right?
Yeah.
And my thing is, man, look, if you don't step into your destiny and embrace that shit, you are slapping God in the face. You are slapping the universe in the face because it's like, bro, you went through all this and you know all this and you are getting this money right now because, bro, this is what, God didn't just give it to you.
Right.
Not, but you worked hard for it. And I believe in the universe. It's like, I mean, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. Motherfucker, help yourself.
Nah, you good. But it's like, you good.
It's like, yo, help yourself because the universe will attract circumstances, situations, or even people to help get you to wherever you're trying to get to. So it's like, yo, don't be mad at that. Embrace it and walk into it because you need to walk into it because, shit, as Max Maxwell says, your family and your friends need you to be rich, right? They need you to be rich. They need me to be rich, bro. Like, I need to get rich. Bro, my wife will tell you, half of my stress is like, dog, I gotta get rich because I gotta help her dad and her mom. And really, don't even need it for real. But like, it's just what I want to do. I want to help my little cousins. Like, bro, I was in Jamaica. My little nephew won a drone. I gotta go get a bag. I gotta go buy. I promised him a drone. I gotta get him a drone now. So it's like, yo, like, your family needs you to succeed because, like, yo, it's your job to lead that charge. And shit, you done cracked the door. Now you need to kick the door down and let him in. And not only that. I'm not gonna make it that easy, right? Do it for yourself, but for the ones that want to walk through and are willing to walk through and do the work to walk through, you can open the door and lay the blueprint for them. Like, yo, look, you see me do it, you remember my whole life,
right?
I done this. You can do this. So let's do this and let's build a family dynasty, build a friend dynasty. Like, that's what it's about. I'm fully embracing my greatness right now, and as both of you should too.
Real, but
at the same time too, bro, I go through imposter syndrome. I go through my own anxiety and depression and struggles and whatever, because I'm human, as we all are.
Right.
You gotta remind yourself, like, look in the mirror when you wake up, like, look, I'm that nigga, bro.
Oh, for real though.
You know what I mean?
For real. And I love that universe manifestation talk. I love all that, man, because I'm with all that. So I love that you even mentioned those things right there. And that's like, man, what you just said was so real, man. Because like I said, that's even something that I'll struggle with sometimes. I'd be like, damn, am I finessing life? Because I'm like so young. But like you said, I didn't stay low, grinded it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could have been young, just wilding. But I was just stacking everything, staying low, getting my skills up, learning. Until like, you know what I'm saying? Going through the motions, ups and downs. Then like, damn, it's like compound interest with investing. After them years of putting shit in, you know what I'm saying? Just tally up. So yeah, man, that's real, man. I'm glad you said that, man. I love your energy too, bro. For real, man. You got great energy, for real, bro. And
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you, and something else I want to ask you about was polymath design, and what's the mission behind that?
So polymath, man. The definition of the word polymath, I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's essentially somebody who's multi-talented and into a lot of different things, right? And I'd say one of my personal life philosophies is called humanism, but not just humanism. It's like Renaissance humanism, right? And the term Renaissance, so like, you've all heard the term Renaissance man and Renaissance woman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that term came from back in the day where like
the 20s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, even before that, like a 1700s, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So essentially, war and be proficient at that, but you also want to be proficient at writing poetry and dancing and the arts, but also be able to handle your business. It's basically like being a well-rounded person overall, and I love that whole concept, right? So with me, I've always tried to box myself into one thing, but whenever I do that, that's my downfall, because it's like, bro, like, you do mad different things, and actually they work better when you're thinking about multifaceted things. So it's like, yo, just embrace that and walk fully into that, right? So as I was learning the word polymath, I was like, yo, this word's cool as hell. I like this. Like, you know what? That's going to be my whole new personal mantra. So, but before I did it, one of my good friends at the time, because, this is before NorRBNB and the whole nine apps, right? So I was making music, but I was also kind of still in the streets. So one of my street mentors, one of my OGs, like, I was kicking with him every day, right? But I rocked with him because he was always about progression, being creative, being dope, and just being on your shit. So when I came up with the idea and we were kicking it, I was like, yo, I'm about to start a clothing line kind of type thing called Polymath. And he was like, yo, Polymath, fuck with that. And I was like, bad. Like, I'm about to go hard with it, right? So actually, at that time, I decided to make him my partner. And we ended up kind of working on it. And then a month after that, my Airbnb situation happened. Then that took off. And then months later, I was like, all right, well, let me just do the whole NorRBNB thing. But before NorRBNB happened, then, like, November 2015, he ended up committing suicide.
Damn.
And that actually hurt me a lot because, like, so his graffiti name was Dab, and Dab stood for Do Anything But Stop. Right, and he was my man, my good friend, real positive dude. But he was obviously going through a lot. But when he died, like, I ended up kind of going through like a real dark depression, anxiety, and the whole nine. But this is also while I'm trying to conceptualize like NorRBNB and that whole thing, and I'm running a record label and like it was just a bunch of drama. But I had that on pause for a minute. I think I owned the domain for like a year, 2 years. Probably even made an announcement, but I said, you know what? My boy Dabs, his name was Do Anything But Stop. If I don't launch this company, then I'm gonna go against everything he stood for. Mm-hmm. So I got out of my own way and put my fear to the side, designed a website, designed a couple of pieces, put it on the online store, and I had an entire online store up for like, I don't know how many months. Didn't announce it, didn't do nothing, still going through my anxiety and my fear. And then one of my friends asked me to do a design for his mixtape cover. So I did the design, and it came out fire. And I was like, yo, this should go on a shirt. Wait a minute, I have a site that sells shirts. Let me just launch this, see what happens, and
took off.
I launched the idea, put it out there, and I made like 100 something or whatever in the first day. And I was like, wait a minute, dog. I've had this site sitting here for how many months? And I made bread on my first day. What kind of loser have I been? So I jumped out there, launched it, made some bread, and ended up just kind of like really going hard on it. Because like for really talking about this, we do lifestyle, branding, web design, logo design, clothing, conceptualization, essentially like media, video, photography, like just all creative type things. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, man. I mean, I could talk about that all day, but yeah.
Yeah, that's cold, man. You got a lot of like businesses and a lot of like mm-hmm. entrepreneurial stuff going on, which is super dope to me. Because like you said, you're not staying in one lane. You doing your thing.
I mean, here's the thing, right? First of all, thank you. I appreciate that from both of y'all. And the thing about it is, from the outside looking in, that's great. It's beautiful. On the inside, it is beautiful, but. To be honest, one of the dudes on Shark Tank, one of his bars was, it's like, I mean, they say one out of every 10 businesses fail. Really? He was like, yo, one out of every 10 businesses fail. So how do you succeed? Start 10 businesses. You know what I mean? Like, yo, even your odds, straight up. You know what I'm saying? So I've been blessed to the point where, like, I get these businesses out, but now, actually, you know what? Let me run it back. Because I've had a bunch of failures. Like, failed clothing brand, failed record label. marketing campaigns, tons of failures, right? But only through those failures, like, was I able to learn and kind of refine my process. You know what I'm saying? So my success rate is improving massively, but I had to go through mad failure and mad L's and mad brokenness and all types of just the worst to even make it to the point where I'm at now. I'm bad, but yeah.
So, and with you saying that, like, the failures and stuff, what gives you, I want to ask you, what gives you that mindset to keep going? Because there's so many people, they fail one business, they like, nah, this ain't for me. This business not for me. And they'll be embarrassed, like, oh, man, I fail. I want people to think this of me or whatever. So what gives you that mindset where you like, you don't care. I'm going to keep going anyway. I'm going to keep trying different stuff.
I say it's two things. Maybe three things. The first two things would be pride and ego. Because like I told you, like, I like when I get up in the morning, look in the mirror, like, yo, you that nigga. You know what I'm saying? And, like,
yeah.
I've been that way since I was a kid. And even with that, even beyond all that, I've never seen myself as a failure, and I refuse to be. Like, not even for a failure as myself, but I never wanted anybody from the outside looking at me like, damn, that nigga Steph was lit. He fell off. Nah, bro.
Nah, not at all.
Like even if I fail, I gotta bounce back because, like, bro, like, I'm not being at the bottom and being beneath where I'm supposed to be is not my natural element. You know what I'm saying? So just out of that alone, I gotta get some shit, you know what I'm saying? Period. You know what I mean? I gotta get it. So there's that. But then also, man, all of the studying that I've done of people who've actually been successful, they took mad L's.
Man.
Ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, failed repeatedly, lost mad money, had bad partners, bad this, bad that. Like, yo, they all went through mad sales. Like, but they had to go through that to get to where they're at now. You know what I'm saying? So and even beyond all that, like I told you, I moved to the U.S. in 1995. And the way that I was able to assimilate and study American culture was by watching movies. I just watched, like, literally, I learned American English by watching the first Bad Boy on repeat for, like, a month. I know every line from the first Bad Boy. Still to this day, because I watched it to study Martin and Will Smith. I'm like, yo, these are my first examples of Black American men. I guess this is how we act. Let me just watch it. And granted, that was a good decision because Will Smith is that nigga. Martin's hilarious. So right. Like, all right, that, you know what I'm saying? But, like, literally, I watch mad movies. But the thing about movies is, like, yo, the main character is going to start off maybe a dweeb and be going through a struggle. It's going to be hard. He's going to win, take an L.
And
then win at the end, and then have a great storyline.
Yep.
And my just naive, ridiculous speech to myself was, look, if I'm at the bottom of where I'm or wherever I'm at, that means that this is the end of my movie.
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? Like, there's more dope shit on the way, so get your ass up and get moving towards the dope shit. You know what I mean? So that's what just gets me up and keeps me moving, man. So, like, yo, I'm the character of my own movie, and my shit got to win an Oscar. You know what I'm saying? So let's get it. You know what I mean?
That's
so, I had a question, but we've talked about you being in tech, music, having your own clothing brands, but I also noticed you're a realtor. So can you describe, like, how that came about and what that experience has been like for you?
Oh, man. Well, so the funny part about it is I remember riding with my mom, and she was looking to buy her first house, and we were looking at all these houses, and I was riding with her realtor, and her realtor had a nice-ass, like, white Mercedes. And I know, I like, one of my best friends at the time, his mom was a realtor, and she had a Mercedes, too. So I was like, well, shit, if you want to get a Mercedes, you got to be a realtor. You know what I'm saying? So that was my naive mentality then. But as I got older, and just, like, just kind of realizing the importance of real estate, I was like, well, look, I want to get into it, but I don't just want to invest. If I want to invest in the best way, I need to make sure that I'm fully versed in all the nerdy details and whatever else, like, that I need to know. Because I that's just how all in that I am. So now, granted, like, if you want to invest in real estate, like, you don't need to be a realtor at all. You don't need money for any of that. But because I wanted to be just so nerdy and just know the full spectrum, like, I was like, I just go all the way in. And my beautiful wife, her mom was like, look, I'll pay for your license. And I was like, well, I can't say no to that, you know what I'm saying? So I went to school, took the test, aced it, and then I went to go take the state test, failed that twice, and I was like, man, look, I passed the state test, Mom Dukes already spent money on it, I can't be a waste of an investment.
Right.
I need to study and pass this shit, and the third time I went in, aced it, boom, you know what I mean? So, but essentially, I mean, like, my thing was, kind of like you discussed in the beginning, a lot of black folks have been railroaded in real estate, like, just because, like they didn't know about the ins and outs of it. So I wanted to make sure that, in order for me to add more value to my community, in addition to just knowing all the ins and outs, let me get up in here, learn the game, and bring the game back to my folks, and help them buy some more property, slow gentrification, build generational wealth, and just all the typical, you know what I'm saying, real estate things. But, yeah.
That's what's up.
That was why, really.
I mean, I'm kind of on the same path, because like we started investing first and we bought our property, but all the realtors and real estate agents I was talking to wasn't really explaining the process to us. They was just like, sign this paperwork. And I'm real like, ain't I all about the stuff I do, and I like to understand everything to the T, and they just was not like really explaining it and giving me all the information I needed. So I got my license. And I'm going through the process of learning the paperwork, the ins and outs, building my connections. And just like you, I like to be well-versed on the stuff I'm doing. I'm real hands-on. I like to really know, like, you know, everything that's going on. I don't want to be in the dark with nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest, like, my thing is that once I know the full ins and outs of something, then I know, okay, this is what we can do, this is what we can't do. And, like, that helps me, like, formulate a game plan on how I just maneuver, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, like, I'm 100% with you. And that was the right thing to do. And on top of that, I got the cheat code. Damn!
Yeah.
You're real good, and you could have been,
Yeah, that's I'm going to speak on that real quick. That's been our whole thing. Like, she brings skills to the table, I bring skills to the table, and we pretty much planned that from when we first got together. You know, when we first got together, we really ain't really know shit regarding like that much, as much as we should have, as far as, I mean, we were super young though, as far as like business. 19. Yeah, she was like 18, I was like 21, and we didn't really know that much. So, but we've been together 4 years, so we've been like pretty much learning. We always said, I'm gonna get these skills, you're gonna get these skills, we're not gonna get the same skills because it's like redundant, and we just gonna bring them to the table, and then we're gonna go from there. That's been our whole like mantra since we've been together. So, yeah, and
I'm gonna say, like, yo, y'all are on the right path, and I salute it. You know what I'm saying? Because like, that's what it should be for real. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah.
Yeah, appreciate that. And you spoke on your wife, so I want to ask you. So how important is it for all the things we've been speaking on? How important do you think like being with her mentality is? Yeah, that y'all have matching mentalities and probably matching goals. How important is that?
Man, the first thing I gotta say, and I'm not just saying it because she's in the kitchen right now making breakfast, but my wife is really the shit. Like, she's definitely the shit. And to be honest, without her mentality and without her support and without her being there and without her understanding, like, none of this really be possible. None of it at all. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, like, you gotta make sure you got the right person and the right partner, because like, if you don't have that and you're just doing it by yourself, one, there's not gonna work. And they might actually be a liability to the dream that you're trying to manifest for. Not bad. So with her, and on top of even just beyond all that, like, I'm on my super entrepreneur path, but as y'all know, entrepreneurism is like crazy ups and crazy downs. And my wife, like, she's so dope because like, she understands that. She also grinds, busts her ass. Like she's a teacher, a tutor. Like, got her master's and about to get a damn PhD in nuclear, I don't know. I'm joking when I say nuclear. I mean, it's all like education and
business. Right, right.
I said, like, she's like really a smart person, you know what I mean? So having her and having that insight and having that next to me is cool. And even beyond all that, like, I'm a savage and I'm a monster and I'm an asshole. And she's so sweet and so nice and so loving. It's like, I need that.
You need that balance.
Yeah, because like, literally, like even yesterday, right? So I need some insight too. Like, yo, I had some former business partners, like, yo, telling lies on me,
I see.
You feel me? I'm like, bro, like, I be wanting to let the chopper sing. You know what I'm saying? And keep it all the way 100. But wifey was like, yo, just chill, leave it alone, that nobody's, they pop up because you pop them, it's mm-hmm. fine. And it's like, you know what? You're right, babe. I wanna smoke these niggas, but
I'ma chill. Hey, that's so funny, cause me and her, we the complete opposite. I'm the one that's like, nah, it ain't nothing. Let's chill, like, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing. It don't faze me at all. She like, nah, ain't no way I ain't letting them say nah. And I'm like,
I don't like that stuff. I'll be like, I'm protective, so I'm like, you know, I'ma say what I gotta say. I'ma stand up for him and all that.
I'd be like, yeah, it don't be bothering me, cause you know, most of the time, a lot of times when people saying stuff to you, 90% of the time it's people that don't know you. So I'm like, why would I let somebody, the person that don't know me, affect, like, you know what I'm saying, affect what I got going on. So it's like, whatever.
And thank you for saying that, because, bro, the motherfucker trying to lie on me, we've literally never been in the same room together. We've been in the same state together.
See?
You know what I mean? And then I got bum-ass losers on the phone. I'm like, what are you doing? Whatever, man.
Yeah, man. And another question I want to ask, because we was talking about like community stuff earlier, and I want to ask you was, how important do you feel like is giving back? And I'm not talking about like just monetary thing, but just giving back information to the community, like teaching things, how to do things, invest in business, you know, all those things. How important is that to you?
I say giving information is way more important than giving money, because I mean, it's like the age old thing, like, yo, you give a man a fish, he's for a day. Yep. Teach a man a fish, he's good for a lifetime. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, bro, like give me that game, bro. And I mean, first thing is I always appreciate getting game from people who are already where I'm at. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But there are a lot of people who want to get to where I'm at, and they need that insight as well. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I feel like, damn, maybe I don't know enough. Am I doing enough? But they like, but people all come to me like, yo, I love what you're doing. How'd you do it? And I give them whatever game that I can, you know what I'm saying? So honestly, I think that it's super important. And hell, Ron, I wouldn't even be on this podcast right now if I didn't think that it was important. Mm. Because you guys are literally living examples of getting that information out there. Because our people need a millionaire mindset.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
For real. So y'all are doing the Lord's work. Y'all are doing the universe. Whatever higher power you believe in, you do what they work. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, for sure.
Man, that's crazy, man. I ain't never really looked at it that way. Yeah. For real. But yeah, that's crazy, man. That's dope, for real. And I just got like a couple more questions I want to ask, because I want to ask this in the beginning, but I didn't get a chance to get to it. So the record label and the rapping stuff. So like, what was the influence on that?
Hey man, I've been that nigga forever. But the funny part about it is that, like I told you, bro, like, when I came to America, I studied American culture, particularly African-American culture. Mm. And not only did I study it, I fell completely in love with it. You know what I'm saying? And like, and my mentality was like, all right, well, shit. If you wanna be a black man and express yourself and be free and make money and live life, at that time, all I knew was, hey, you gotta rap. I feel like everybody out there, a couple of bars, yeah, try mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know me, like, I don't just try, I go all in. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And to be honest, like, I tried to not do that, because, like, I was like, I want to be a rapper, but even in high school, I said, forget the rapper thing. You're going to start a New Source magazine and just go hard that way, right? So, like, yo, I was in school for journalism and all, like, newspaper and all that. I went to office communications and all, because I wanted to build a whole, like, five source type of, like, network, you know what I mean? But the music career always kept calling me, and it's like, yo, like, and it worked out. And the thing about it is, like, always have bars, always had dope producers, and always loved performing and being on stage and expressing my thoughts. But the reason why I'm not doing that now is because, to be honest, Noir B&B took off so crazy that I was like, man, look, bro, like, I got this on my lap, and if I don't nurture this, then it's not gonna be what it can be. And if I'm writing, and to be a rapper, like, yo, you gotta be writing to me personally, to consider yourself a rapper, you need to be writing damn near every day, mm-hmm. you need to be rehearsing every day, talking to producers, getting beats, marketing your social media, doing album rollouts, part, like, the whole nine, right? And, like, I knew that if I couldn't dedicate that to it, because I need to dedicate this I'ma just chill. You know what I'm saying? So now, mind you, like, I still write rhymes. I still make beats.
Damn.
I got my studio back here.
Wow. You know,
like, you know what I mean?
That's cool.
So literally, I do my work in between my speakers, and I got my, like, the whole setup is still right there. You know, and make beats, you know, till from here till 100 years from now. You know what I mean? But this right here is very timely, and it's so big. And with rap, I may be helping people just enjoy good music, but I'm not solving a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, yo, I gotta solve this problem before I get back to just jumping around. You know what I mean? So yeah.
And I love that you keep mentioning, like, problem solving, because that's a big thing I've been talking about a lot. When I say talking to people that want to be entrepreneurs and they want to make a lot of money, I'm like, if you want to make a lot of money, solve a big problem. Like, I look at people like Jeff Bezos with Amazon or Steve Jobs with Apple. People just see what they're doing. They don't think on a deeper level. Like, they solved a huge problem. They found, like, something complicated, and they made it much more simple and much more, like, easier for people to use. It was like, it's a huge problem, and the money is just a byproduct of them solving that. So I'm like,
I had somebody, matter of fact, I didn't even have somebody. Somebody was on Twitter. Like, I see, y'all remember when Robert Smith paid for all the Morehouse's graduation fees, yep, whatever, yeah, tuition. So there's a bunch of people complaining about it, but one person was complaining about it on Twitter, talking about how Robert Smith is this, and if billionaires pay. Matter of fact, no, she was like, she said billionaires shouldn't be allowed to exist.
What?
And I was, yeah, she said billionaires should not be allowed to exist. And I was tripping because I'm like, yo, homegirl, you're tweeting this on Twitter, and the person who invented Twitter is a billionaire. Only because exactly, like, bro, like they weren't just born with a bit, like, they had to create something that you wanted to use to be worth $1 billion. It's like, well, people don't understand and connect the dots, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, nah, bro, like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous, because every single billionaire, either they have been like a crazy investor, or they all created a product or a business that's like Walmart, Amazon, Facebook, you know what I'm saying? It's something that, like, everybody in the world uses. So if they didn't exist, none of those businesses or anything would exist. So that whole thing makes no sense. Yeah, it makes no sense.
But it's like what we discussed before, right? Like, people will hate the successful, but ignore their journey. You know what I'm saying? And you can't ignore the journey, because it's like, bro, you hate them because they're rich and they're that and they're that, but, like, yo, they had to go through this and build this, which a million people use for them to even get that money. Like, even Twitter, right? We're all on Twitter for free. It's free, right?
Free.
But they built such a platform that all of us wanted to use, that they make money off ad space and just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, like, you're helping this person be a billionaire while saying that they shouldn't exist. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, that whole thing is kind of confusing to me. So I got just one more question before we wrap up. And it's just, so yesterday I seen you, was that yesterday? Or the day before yesterday? I don't know. One of these days you posted about the Jay-Z lyrics, and everybody that know me, they know that's my favorite rapper ever. Jay-Z, my favorite rapper ever. It's Jay-Z, Ross and Nip, you already know them. My favorite, them my top. That's my top three right there.
Holy Trinity.
All right, that's my top three right there. So I want to ask you, who is that? Your favorite rapper ever?
Oh, is the GOAT all time, forever. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And here's the funny part about it. I feel weird saying this now, because Ho is my favorite rapper of all time, but Nipsey has become my new favorite rapper. But he became that. Yo, I heard Victory Lap. Because granted, I've been a fan of Nipsey off of his mentality for
the longest.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but, like, and I heard a couple of tracks, but, like, none of them really stood out until I heard Victory Lap. I was like, wait a minute, like, this dude?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Is rapping like this the whole time?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. Yo, Cuz is the real deal.
The real deal.
And I heard some, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, dog. Like, and mind you, I met him in 2012.
Yeah, I seen you. I seen that.
Yeah, I mean, but like at that time, she wasn't even on what he was on now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So his evolution was like, bro, like, I love seeing what him do what he did, because, like, had I kept going with rap, that's the lane I would have went, like, just more entrepreneur, focused business, this mentality rap. You know what I'm saying? So he was, I was living vicariously through him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when he passed,
it was heartbreaking.
Bro, it's heartbreaking.
Still.
I can't believe this shit is real.
Yeah, I can't believe it either.
Bro, I got a playlist on my phone that I made months before he passed, and the playlist is called Money Making Nip. When I get up in the morning, if it's not a podcast, I'm playing Nip because it gets me in a mindset to get up, get this bread, and be great. You know what I'm saying? And they took that man from us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro. And that's so, because literally last night, I was sitting here watching, I was watching some movie last night. It was late at night. And it just like, I don't even know. I'm just sitting there. I ain't looking at my phone or nothing. And I'm just thinking like, damn, I really killed Nip. And Nip ain't had nothing. He really had nothing to do with it. He wasn't in the movie or nothing. It just popped up in my head like, damn, bro. Like, this shit is crazy. Like, because... You like how your story, like how you felt about him, we felt the exact same way. Like when we first got together, that was the first artist I introduced her to. She was like, she ain't know who he was. I'm like, man, you need to listen to some Nip, and that became her favorite rapper. So it was when that happened, I was like, just the stuff he was talking about, like you said, he talking about being integrated vertically in business. Like, what rapper is talking about that? Like, what rapper is really talking about being integrated vertically? Like, most people don't even know what that is.
I was tripping. I was tripping because on his last song, the man said, closing escrow twice
this month. Both commercial units. I'm like, man, it was fly. Like, he wouldn't spit in no entrepreneur stuff in a corny way, how some people would see it. It was in a fly way. He was fly about it. It was G. So it was like, you loved it. So
that's what cats like us needed. And yeah. that's why Hov was a legend and is a legend, because, like, yo, he was giving that for guys like us. I mean, granted, he's our era, but at the same time, Nipsey's really more our era,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I would say, like Hov is for, like, our big brothers and big homies. And
you're right.
Like, because we were there, but, like, Nipsey was like, bruh, I'm here right now. And you're watching my evolution happen
right.
Real time. And like, and we were
watching
along with him.
Watching
like,
it,
bro. People have no idea. Like, matter of fact, so I'm doing a TED talk and like at the end of this month. But when I got the actual news that I was accepted to get the talk, I cried because part of my speech was inspired by me wanting to work with Nip. Like, I had plans to get my shit, like, get shit rolling.
Yeah.
And, like, yo, get it. Somehow, some way, call somebody I know, and get a meeting set up. I'm like, yo, link up. You know what I'm saying? And, like, before I can even make it happen, they took that.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
It's...
Yeah, bro, so it's super sad, you know what I mean? But it's like, bro, like you need more. And matter of fact, even, I love Nip, I love Hov, and I love even Meek. Like,
yeah,
like,
growth.
Like, it may not be, like, business focused, but it's inspirational.
It's real.
You know what I'm saying?
So
it's like, yeah, man, keep grinding, bro. Yeah,
it's real. And that's like, even that model with the Meek, the Nip model, even the Hov model, like you said, Hov was older. Like, the only reason I'm, like, the biggest Hov fan is because the people that was older than me, that's what they was playing when I was a kid. So, naturally, I just grew up hearing it all the time. But I'm saying all that to say they make entrepreneurship and business cool, where it's like accepted. Exactly. So that's the same thing that we got to do. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people, some. I realized, I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago. Sometimes us as like business people, we forget like where we came from mentally. Like, you got to think, like, I'm from Chicago. A kid from Chicago, we see somebody with, I don't want to say a suit, but somebody that's like, you know what I'm saying? You got to look like us for us to want to take the information. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes, I don't want to say we got to dumb it down a little bit, but we got to know how to reach the people. Because they might not be where we at. We probably a little, I'm not trying to be arrogant or nothing, but we really advance. And not saying they can't get there, they can get there, but we gotta reach them on their level.
Yeah.
So that's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. That's real, man.
Yeah, man. And dang, that was my last. Could you have anything else?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but before we let you go, bro, I just want to say, man, I love this episode.
I do got a question. Out of everything that you're doing, what would you say you're the most passionate about? Out of all these different hustles, which one is like the biggest passion?
That's difficult to say because, to be honest, and it's impossible to say because, to be honest, all of them, people don't even know. All of them tie into each other. Like, Polymath Design, bro, I'm doing a lot of the designs. Like, we have a design team and all, like, working on new RBUV stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, bro, even with real estate, new RBUV really is short-term rental real estate. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I became an agent partially to fully know more about real estate so that I could be a better CEO for Noir B&B, you know what I'm saying? So it's like all, even the event, like the music for all of, for any Noir B&B ad, I made that beat. You know what I'm saying? Like that's human vertical integration.
That's vertical integration. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. And that's
so all these things, and I didn't want to have my talents and my passion separated. I need them all to work together for the greater good of myself and all the people that I work with. So, like, I just made it that way, for real. You know what I'm saying? So, my real passion, as you guys have already said, really is solving problems. I just like building businesses and doing cool shit. But you build businesses to solve problems. So, like, really just entrepreneurship, for real. You know what I mean? Like, that's my main... That's
where you're
going, man.
Wow, and that's dope, because I even seen, it was a long time, I don't remember who it was. It was a billionaire. I don't remember which one it was. But he was saying, like, if you create businesses, make sure all of them are linked together. Don't do businesses that don't have anything to do with one another. Make sure your businesses are linked together. Yeah. That's so dope, man. And yeah, but like I said,
I didn't even know that, so I guess I'm not great.
You're not at all. You're doing the right thing, because I heard that, like, three, four years ago, and that always stuck with me. I'm like, damn, okay. That's what I'm gonna do. He a billionaire. He living proof. So why would I be a fool to be like, nah? I ain't doing that. I'm gonna do my. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, bro, man, I love what you're doing, bro. You got our support with whatever, bro. You reach out to us on anything. You got our support, bro. I'm with you, full fledged, for real, bro.
Anything I can help with y'all? What y'all doing? The love and support is mutual. Honestly, this was dope as hell, fun as hell, and I appreciate y'all, man. Thank you.
Definitely, man. We appreciate you, and I'm gonna keep in touch with you, though. I'm gonna make sure we keep chopping up, man.
Hey, man. Look, man. DM me your phone number, bro.
Okay.
Let's make it happen like that, man.
Definitely, bro. I'll be hitting you up soon, bro. Appreciate you.
All right, cool.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate y'all, man. Later, peace.
Yep, peace. All right, guys. Well, that was another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets with Steph, a.k.a. Steph is Dope. Now, that was a super, super value episode. I hope you guys took some gems from it. And before we let you go, for people who don't know my information, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Xavier C. Miller. Facebook, Xavier Miller. Snapchat, Xavier Miller 312. I'm tripping, man. And I don't even know how I've been saying it. But yeah, Deanna, she's gonna give you her info as well.
And y'all can find me on Twitter at Deanna S. Kent, Instagram Deanna Kent, or Kent Real Estate, and Facebook is Deanna Kent. And if you haven't already subscribed to the Millionaire Mindsets daily text subscription, you could do so by texting at MMindsets to 81010. Again, that is at MMindsets to 81010.
And that's all we got for y'all. We appreciate y'all for listening to another episode. See y'all next episode. Peace.
On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take risks because you're too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way.
A whole lot of shit on the way.
On the way.